Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and welcome to this special edition of the English program, dedicated to Pope Benedict XVI's pastoral visit to Sydney, Australia, for the celebration of World Youth Day 2008. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI urges young people to beware the spreading spiritual desert that often accompanies modern prosperity. The two protagonists of especially enacted Via Crucis, one of the salient events of this World Youth Day, share their thoughts and their feelings. And as Pope Benedict prepares to fly back home, the coordinator of World Youth Day sums up the legacy and the hopes of World Youth Day 2008.
You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
These are the words chosen by Pope Benedict XVI to begin his homily during Sunday's World Youth Day Mass at Sydney's Randwick Racecourse, at the culmination of an intense series of events. And these words echo the theme of this 23rd World Youth Day, a theme which the Pope and the hundreds of thousands of young pilgrims who have joined him have been reflecting upon and exploring since Thursday, the 17th of July, when Sydney's World Youth Day officially began. But let's listen to Sean Patrick Lovett's report of the day. He's in Australia with the Pope and was right there at the Mass this morning. He makes some interesting considerations.
Every nation, every tribe, come together to worship you. In your presence we...
If you like superlatives, then yes, it was the greatest, biggest and mostest in Australian history. The greatest crowd ever gathered in one place at one time, over 300,000 people. The biggest liturgical event ever held on Australian soil, over 3,000 priests, 420 bishops and 26 cardinals, a 300-voice choir and an 80-piece orchestra, and so on and so forth. If you like superlatives. If you prefer facts to figures, then yes, they were equally impressive. The fact that the venue, Randwick Racecourse, was the site of three previous papal masses in 1970, 1986 and 1995. The fact that the overriding colour of the altar and decor was red, reflecting both the fire of the Holy Spirit and the colour of the Australian outback. The fact that, despite the weather forecasts, it didn't rain. Too bad the closing mass for the 23rd World Youth Day in Sydney wasn't actually about either facts or figures. It was about celebrating the Catholic faith together with the Holy Father himself. That's what happened, and that's what people will remember. At the heart of that celebration was the Holy Spirit, theme and inspiration for all the reflections of the past few days. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We have since this promise fulfilled.
The Pope explained the nature and purpose of that power during his homily.
In these days I too have come as a successor of St. Peter to this magnificent land of Australia. I have come to confirm you, my young brothers and sisters, in your faith and to encourage you to open your hearts to the power of Christ's Spirit and the richness of his gifts.
He noted how here in Australia we have experienced the presence and power of the Spirit in the beauty of nature and in the life of the Church.
Here in Australia, this great Southland of the Holy Spirit, all of us have had an unforgettable experience of the Spirit's presence and power in the beauty of nature. Our eyes have been opened to see the world around us as it is truly, charged, as the poet says, with the grandeur of God, filled with the glory of his creative love. Here too, in this great assembly of young Christians from all over the world, we have a vivid experience of the Spirit's presence and power in the life of the Church. We have seen the Church for what she truly is, the body of Christ, a living community of love, embracing people of every race, nation, and tongue, of every time and place, in the unity born of our faith in the risen Lord.
He asked the young people how they intend to use that power in order to make a difference.
Dear young people, let me now ask you a question. What will you leave to the next generation? Are you building your lives on firm foundations, building something that will endure? Are you living your lives in a way that opens up space for the Spirit in the midst of a world that wants to forget God or even rejects him in the name of a falsely conceived freedom? How are you using the gifts you have been given, the power which the Holy Spirit is even now prepared to release within you? What legacy will you leave to young people yet to come? What difference will you make?
Empowered by the Spirit, he said, a new generation of Christians is being called to help build a world in which God's gift of life is welcomed, respected, and cherished, not rejected, feared, and destroyed.
A new age in which love is not greedy or self-seeking, but pure, faithful, and genuinely free, open to others, respectful of their dignity, seeking their good, radiating joy and beauty. A new age in which hope liberates us from the shallowness, apathy, and self-absorption which deaden our souls and poison our relationships.
The Church and the world, he concluded, need this renewal, and the Lord is asking you to be prophets of this new age.
Dear young friends, the Lord is asking you to be prophets of this new age, messengers of his love, drawing people to the Father and building a future of hope for all humanity. The world needs this renewal. In so many of our societies, side by side with material prosperity, a spiritual desert is spreading. The Church also needs renewal. She needs your faith, your idealism, your generosity, so that she can always be young in the Spirit. The Church especially needs the gifts of young people, all young people. She needs to grow in the power of the Spirit, who even now gives joy to your youth and inspires you to serve the Lord with gladness. Open our hearts to that power.
But the final Mass of any World Youth Day is also a cliffhanger, insofar as it concludes with the announcement of when and where the next event will be held. It's meant to be a surprise announcement, but it's one of the church's worst-kept secrets. The huge number of young Spanish pilgrims were ready and waiting with banners, flags, and cheers when the Pope revealed that World Youth Day 2011 will take place in Madrid, Spain.
Dear friends, the time has come for me to say goodbye, or rather, to say arrivederci. I thank you all for your participation in your World Youth Day 2008 here in Sydney. And I look forward to seeing you again in 3 years' time. World Youth Day 2011 will take place in Madrid, Spain. Until then, let us continue to pray for one another and let us joyfully bear witness to Christ before the world. May God bless you all.
With the Pope in Australia, I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
Well, thanks there to Sean for that report. And before the Sunday morning Mass at Randwick Racecourse, on his last full day in the country, the Pope flew by helicopter over hundreds of thousands of pilgrims who had staged an all-night vigil at the racetrack ahead of the event that formally ended World Youth Day celebrations. His underlying message to the young pilgrims who have filled Sydney with their enthusiasm over the past 5 days has been that they should have the courage to be Catholic and live the tenets of their religion openly and proudly. Some of the media has been calling World Youth Day the Church's version of Woodstock, 5 days and nights of peace, love and Christianity. During this time, more than 165 concerts have been staged, from religious music to heavy metal, acid jazz and rap, along with mass confessionals and prayer meetings. Auxiliary Bishop Anthony Fisher of Sydney is also coordinator of World Youth Day 2008. After the Mass today, he briefly summed up thoughts and hopes following these intense 4 days of labour and love.
This has been a wonderful time for Australia, as it has been, I hope, for the youth of the world. We have seen in this country people with their arms wide open in welcome to the young people of the world, and with those arms brought back together in prayer. And we've seen beautiful events, moving, deeply moving events, such as the Stations of the Cross and the Papal Welcome, the Vigil and the Final Mass, and lots of little things locally that really show that the Catholic faith is alive and well in Australia and has now been given a renewed energy, a real new impetus. I think we're going to see wonderful new things happening in the church and the community in the next few years as a result of World Youth Day, whether that's at an individual level of people embracing their vocation, their baptismal vocation, or a new vocation to priesthood, religious life, married life, parenting, professional life as committed Christians, or whether we see it in terms of bigger projects that are taken on by whole groups. One way or another, a whole new energy has been given to our country, and we know that's the energy of the Holy Spirit.
And that was Auxiliary Bishop Anthony Fisher of Sydney. And as I was mentioning before, the events organised during the whole of last week, in the lead-up to and in celebration of World Youth Day, have been many and memorable. Amongst them on Friday, the reenactment of Jesus' last days on earth was an event the likes of which the city had not seen before. Combining traditional and contemporary elements of song, dance and drama, set amid many of Sydney's iconic landmarks, this huge devotional production attracted hundreds of thousands to key locations in the city and harbour shores. And joining Sydney participants was a worldwide viewing audience estimated to be more than 500 million. For 3 hours, Christ's Passion unfolded at Sydney's Domain, Art Gallery, Opera House, Darling Harbour and the old dockyard at Barangaroo. Pilgrims at each location were linked by giant video screens. Pope Benedict was at St. Mary's Cathedral to watch the reenactment of the Last Supper on the steps. Afterwards, the Pope prayed that those who do not know or have forgotten Christ should seek him in the Eucharist.
Draw us into your real presence at Mass. Help us to understand that communion with you also means union with all souls to whom you give yourself. Make us generous and insightful as we try to walk in your footsteps.
Our man at World Youth Day, Sean Patrick Lovett, spoke personally to the two protagonists of this very Australian Via Crucis. They are 27-year-old Alfio Stuto, who played the part of Jesus, and 27-year-old Marina Dixon in the robes of Mary.
Alfio and Marina, the first question is, why did you do it?
We did it to glorify God's name, you know, to basically share the story with everybody so their hearts can be touched. And that's it, you know, that's the fundamental reason. And look, it prevailed, you know, you look at the pilgrims, they were just so emotional. And that's for me, and obviously for Marina, that was rewarding. That was the high for me, and for Marina, of course.
That's it, I can't really say any more. Glorifying God and honouring God, that's it. I know that seems like so basic, but that's why we do it. And to share God's immense love with humanity.
Maybe more in a simple level, it's to teach people about the story, you know?
Yeah, they don't know.
They don't know.
We forget that, don't we? Yeah. I forget that.
Yeah. Because we have people that in life that maybe are not so much in the understanding of the faith and the glorification or, you know, the story and what Jesus was all about. So through this interpretation or the reenactment of the life of Jesus, people can be touched in from any faith base and they can get understanding and they can see, you know, what was it all about, you know, at different levels. So, yeah.
Second question. What did you get out of it?
What did I get out of it? More intimacy with God, being drawn closer to God, going deeper within our faith. Yes.
You spoke about actually feeling like you were there, actually experiencing the moment.
Yeah, there were times in the process where I would cross over and it was like a prayer and you were there. You didn't exist and you felt like it was a prayer. It became a prayer. Mm. Yeah, you're looking at me doubting.
No, I'm thinking, this is radio, it's not television. Yeah. So people can't see your beautiful face. And I can while you're saying that. And I'm just wondering, people listening to that, are they not going to say, gosh, that sounds weird?
Okay, so the way to explain it is that the Spirit of the Lord takes over and you're not performing, but you're embodying the actual events and you're going through that process and you're dying to self. Does that mean? Is that...
That's strong stuff, yes.
Yeah, definitely. Like with what Marina's saying, what I was doing is basically reflecting on my life and the emotions that I was going through, what I have gone through and what affects me, and then linking that to the story. So, for example, you know, when I was dragged up towards the cross, up that ramp, you know, my vision there was death, you know, and I was getting scared. Like, the emotion, you know, obviously, realistically, you know, I know it's not, you know, but what the emotions take over and you become vulnerable because, you know, you see the soldiers look in their eyes, you know, it feels very, very, like, daunting, you know. So it's a process where everyone is working off each other, you know, and they're using their own emotions that affects them in their life and then they're using that and linking that to God's work, you know, the faith and the story and etc.
You spoke about the eighth station, the meeting with the women of Jerusalem and your sorrowing mother. What was the connect? What was going on inside you there?
You know, I'm thinking about my life, what affects me, you know, how my mother has been there for me, and the thought that, you know, if I'm in dire straits, you know, like I know my mum's always there, and I saw, you know, the maternal holiness in Marina, you know, like she was there to comfort me in maternal love, you know, and I was saddened when she was pushed away, because I could feel that, you know, like the connection, the maternal, the motherhood relationship, the mother and son relationship happening there, you know, through the spiritual and the emotional level. So it is powerful. Like just talking about it makes,
oh
man, it just, I'm breathless. I swear it's the truth, you know. It's,
I believe you.
You can't.
And one thing I noticed, I don't have children yet, God willing soon, but one thing I noticed is a mother would go, every woman has maternal instincts, and I just felt like I would just knock anyone over or do anything to comfort your son, like that. I really sensed that last night, like it, when you were walking to the cross, when you were on the cross, it was just like this desperation, desperate urge to comfort to comfort your son,
There was a third question. There was a third question. The third question is, okay, what did you want other people to get out of it?
A connection, a spiritual connection with the story, to be touched by, you know, Jesus' love and the reason he did that. You know, like, he was just basically, okay, I'm here. My hands are right in front of you. I'm in front of me, and I'm willing to do this. You know, the idea that he had so much love. So this is for everybody. Like, you don't have to really just believe that, you know, he's the Son of God. Look at a face value. He had so much love that he basically said, I'll do this. I'll go through this because my love for the world is so much that it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? So I'm saying that so everyone can relate to this. You know, and obviously those that have the belief and the Christian values and the believers, that can, it can draw them closer to God, you know, so they can be reawakened, because that's what World Youth Day is about. They're getting closer to God, getting understanding of, you know, the spirit and everything. So, but like I said, it's for everybody.
Do you want me to
just, yeah, what were your hopes? I mean, you spoke about being moved by the fact that people were moved. You saw people crying.
Definitely. My heart's cry was just that God would speak to each person as an individual, that it wouldn't just be just a mass, everyone going, oh, that's sad. I wanted God to, I was praying that there would be intimacy. And after, when people came and they spoke about their interaction and what had happened, I felt that it had. And so we can't ask for anything more as believers and as actors. That's why we did it. Yeah, so it was happening.
I have a bonus question. Can I ask you to step aside from being actors and step aside from being Jesus and Mary for a moment and just be Alfie or Marina?
Yeah.
As young people living.
You sure about
I'm
that?
I'm absolutely positive. And living in Sydney, you talked, I was listening to the press conference, you used the word buzz, I'm on a high. Yeah. I can understand that, and you haven't quite come down yet, Marina, right? But what happens now? Walking past the quayside, I saw they've already taken down the big screens, they've already removed the lights, and I mean, it's a few hours and it's all gone. What happened? In 2 days, the Pope is gone. What happens now? How do you? What happens to that buzz? What happens to that high?
We have to keep it.
Yeah.
We have to grab on for your dear life.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the screens are down, but the spirit's still here.
Amen. Amen. Right? That's so perfect. What can I say?
You know, like,
that's all.
I believe
that's
it,
all
man.
There is.
You go out there. Yeah. Trust me, it's there. All right.
Yeah.
Take my word. Because
it'll stay there.
It will stay there because 500,000 pilgrims and their spirit.
Yeah.
It's not going to go away overnight. It's going to stay for years.
Amen. Right. That's beautiful. Yeah, that's so true. And I just think that there has to be a move. There will be a move within the church, and it's going to come into a new season, and we're just thankful for that.
And look, you know, you're saying, you're asking to not look at us as Jesus and Mary.
Mm.
Okay, well, basically, with the buzz that is going to stay there, okay, hopefully people can go out, have a good time, go out and party and just live life and be merry. And
do the Catholic rap for me.
Yeah. Ain't no party like a Catholic party, because a Catholic party don't stop. We're at heavenly places with a first name basis.
You got that, Jay. You got that, Jay.
Jay.
You got that, E. You got that, E.
E.
You got that you. S, 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 S. You got that U.
You, 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 you. You got that S, S, S. What does it spell?
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus.
And that was Sean Patrick Lovett speaking to Alfio Stuto and Marina Dixon, respectively Jesus and Mary, in the Sydney Via Crucis event for World Youth Day 2008. Well, we're coming to the end of this programme, and yet there's still so much to say and to tell. What is it that makes the young people in Sydney react to the Pope's words with such passion? Of course, it has to do, above all, with the universality, the depth and the beauty of Jesus' message of salvation. Of course, it has to do with their hunger for spirituality and their search for meaning. But I think Benedict XVI himself has a hand in it as well. I asked Bishop Chris Toohey of the Australian Diocese of Wilcannia-Forbes, Chair of Catholic Earth Care Australia and the Bishop's Commission of Justice and Service, what he thinks Pope Benedict's legacy is for the young people at World Youth Day today.
Paradoxically, given that he's 81 years of age, he actually appeals to young people in a way that the media find rather surprising. And what I think it is that appeals to the young adults of our world is that he is sincere, he's intelligent, and he knows what he's talking about. And finally, he believes what he's talking about. They're not just empty words, they come from his own personal convictions, having looked at things and reflected upon them and seen them in the context of the creation of God. He never says anything lightly, and he considers every single word. Young people sense that. They also almost as if they have a radar screen there, you know, and they can pick a person's sincerity instinctively, and Pope Benedict has that in spades, and the young people identify very, very clearly. So from my point of view, what he will leave us is a sense of the Church's mission to be serious and hopeful at the same time, serious about what's happening and hopeful that we will, in fact, be able to sustain life on this planet into the very long term. That's the feeling that I've got from what he has said and from what young people have reacted in terms of response to him.
That was Bishop Chris Toohey of the Australian Diocese of Wilcannia-Forbes in an excerpt of an in-depth interview on Pope Benedict XVI and his words on creation and the environment, the full version of which you can listen to tomorrow on this same programme. That's all from the English feature programme and from me, Linda Bordoni, today. But we'll be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus.